Hello, and welcome to Hashtag New Teacher Journey podcast. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to record with Carla Goldberg. She is such an amazing educator, and I had such a great time talking to her. We talked a lot about COVID and how that's impacting education to this day, and how, you know, there are a lot of things that we still want to keep the same, but then also we learned a lot as educators from everything going on. Her passion is making preschoolers beg parents to go to school. She's a writer, gardener, cat lover, mom, wife, and she's from Alaska. And her Twitter handle is @CarlaGoldberg12. So I really enjoyed recording this podcast, and I hope you enjoy it. Start off with, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm born and raised in Alaska, and I'm 52, and teaching kind of came to me late in life. I came from a long line of teachers, but I didn't want to go that way. I was thinking I had a smarter idea and tried other things, but eventually came back to teaching. I had really bad school experiences of my own. I repeated the third grade, I was dyslexic, and they didn't know all that stuff back then. So I had a really hard time at school, and turned into why I wanted to be a teacher is I had such negative early experiences with school. I didn't want any other kids to go through what I did and to go through hating school and having it be an opportunity to feel like a failure. And so that's kind of my early background.
I love that. And I, you know, that remembering your why is so important as teachers, is to remember why we got into the field. So I think that's great that that was your purpose behind, you know, your role as an educator.
Yeah.
So in education, we all have good and bad days. Please reflect on some good days you've had in education.
So good days. Well, right now I'm teaching preschool at a Title I school, which I absolutely love. And that's where I'm gifted and where I belong. That's not where I started out as a new teacher, but that's where I'm at now. I'm in my seventh year of teaching. And I love when the kids make the connections, because at this age, there's so much repeating and repeating before they get it. And when that spark totally lights up, it's like, hey, Miss Carla, that's just like yesterday when we did such and such. And it's like, it's just like, yes, they're finally getting it. And, you know, some kids that's real natural and they just get it. And other kids, for a variety of reasons, it just takes them longer. And it is so awesome when what you've been trying to do, it like sinks in and you're like, yay, those little victories mean so much for these little guys.
Yeah, I love those aha moments where even my sixth graders, when they get something in math and they're so excited about it, it just makes you feel excited for them because mm-hmm. they finally see that connection.
Yeah.
So likewise, what are some things you've experienced that were difficult at the time, but looking back now, you learned a lot from them?
Well, my first year of teaching was a disaster. My husband said, you should have just had a nervous breakdown because it would have been easier. And unfortunately, he is correct. I got the job and I'd interviewed over the phone because I was out of the state at the time. And, you know, one of the things they asked me is, are you familiar with DI? And I was thinking, you know, I was fresh out of college. Yeah, differentiated instruction. But I didn't say that. I said, yes, you know, we learned all about that in college, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turned out their DI was direct instruction, which is totally different than what I was thinking in my DI in college. And direct instruction is much very restricted and kind of parroting. And you say like word, the word is, you know, chair. What's the word? And they all say chair. And you say spell it. And they go C-H-A-I-R, chair. And it's very non-creative. And I'm an artist, and I was just so kind of in shock because I came from college thinking, oh, I'm going to be able to apply all these great things that you learn about that are, you know, how kids learn. And then I was put in a school that had a different philosophy, and I didn't know that going in, and it was not a good match. And so I want to encourage new teachers that if you're at a spot that's not a good match, try and figure out, you know, I had a terrible year. I probably should have just resigned and subbed and tried to go to a different district the following year because it was a mess. And the principal and I just had different philosophies of what learning looked like. For example, one day she came into my class and I had a kid who was undiagnosed, but probably on the spectrum. He didn't like the lights. It was too bright for him, the fluorescence, and he would get agitated. And we were doing our reading and I let him sit under a desk. He was still doing his reading. Everyone was doing everything they were supposed to. And the principal came in and she was appalled that he was doing his reading under the desk instead of sitting in a chair, feet on the floor, back straight with the book open. And to me, that wasn't even a blip. You know, my thing is, this is great. He's reading, he's focused, he's not pacing, he's not aggravating other people. This is a win-win. And, you know, but we were at a point where she has one opinion of what learning looks like, and I had a totally different opinion. And that doesn't mean that either one of us are right or wrong, but the two of us were not a good match to be working in the same school with those totally different ideas of what learning looks like.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point of, like, we talk so much about, you know, culture within the building, and sometimes personalities don't mesh, and it's important for, you know, newer teachers to realize that, like, you know, it's not that you're not cut out for the profession or that it's, you know, some years are like that, that kind of ebbs and flows. Like, I know that I got that advice that some years are great and then other years you have a different unique group of students where you're gonna feel, you know, pressured or you're gonna feel doubt, and it goes in and out. But I think it's important to, you know, if you're truly not happy with your setting, that you do realize it's, you know, you could find a different school, or maybe the culture doesn't work, or people that you work with, or admin, you know, there's so many different factors that go into securing a position. You want to make sure you find a place where you do feel like you have a good fit.
Yeah. And it's easy as a first teacher, you just want to take whatever anyone gives you. And, you know, we've all been there and we all want to be wanted. And, you know, there's pressure. It's like, you know, don't be afraid to reach out and talk to, hopefully you'll have other friends that you will have known going through college and other connections that you can say, hey, what is it like at this school really? And hopefully they'll give you, you know, honest feedback, because getting in the wrong spot for a year is extremely detrimental to your mindset and a whole bunch of things that just kind of, you know, the first year of teaching is so hard and we're really not prepared for it as much as a university would like to think they're doing. You're just something you cannot prepare for. And even in a perfect setting, it's going to be hard, and it's going to be hard the first several years. And, you know, if you can find a good match, it'll totally make you feel like a success or a failure, depending how that works.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So going off that, what is one piece of advice you would like to give any new teachers?
I think I had an awesome opportunity my first year. I was randomly selected. The state of Alaska had at that time a Alaska statewide mentor project. And I was randomly selected as a new teacher to have a person who was a real mentor, and that was their job. And they'd already been teaching for lots of years. And when she would evaluate me, or not evaluate me, she'd come in every once a week and just watch, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And afterwards, we'd go over the sheet. And the sheet helped me so much because it had what did we do well, or we. What did I do well? What went well? What didn't go well? And where do we go from here? And what's the next step? And I know that's a very simple thing, but that's really what I needed as a new teacher, is reflecting, okay, what went well? Because all we want to do in our minds is we naturally think everything that went wrong, but there are things that went well. What went well? And then what didn't go well? And then where do we go from here? Like, is this information I need to reflect on? Was this a fluke? Was, you know, one of my kid didn't have his ADHD meds or whatever the situation was? And then what's the next step? And that really helped me focus on what I could do instead of everything that went wrong. So that really helped me. And I think that is an awesome opportunity that I wish all new teachers had, someone like that, who wasn't just another teacher in the building who pops in on you once in a while when they have a few minutes, but like someone to actually walk you through the process. It's just incredible to, you have to reflect, you have to go back and reflect what went well and what do I need to do? And sometimes, some days you just need to go home and forget about it. Because there's some days where no matter what you did or wouldn't have done, it would have been a disaster, and that's okay. We all have disasters. The teachers down the hall looked like they got it all together. No, we're just all shutting our door and hoping when the principal comes in, it's a good moment, because that's the reality of teaching, you know, with 20 to 30 bodies.
Yeah, and I think that's crucial. I know that my first year, I didn't have like a mentor assigned, and it was a lot of like trying to figure out when the other teacher across the hall could, you know, watch me teach, and that never happened. So it was hard for us to figure that schedule out because we taught the same grade. But then the school I'm at now, we have a mentor that comes in, you know, once every week or two and just watches for 5 to 10 minutes, like you said, gives us a little note of feedback. And that was really helpful because it made me realize, like, you know, something is going well, but then you're always, you know, as teachers, we're hard on ourselves, especially when you're new, where I think we always have a list of what didn't go well, like you said.
Yeah.
And then, you know, realizing that there is something, or there's light at the end of the tunnel for a given day or a given moment, can be super helpful. This year we're remote because of COVID.
Right.
So my mentor still comes in on Zoom for like 5 minutes, but it's been hard because my last mentor got switched because she left the district and got a new position. So now I have a new person. And so that's been a little bit of an adjustment in the way I was used to getting feedback. And obviously because of COVID also, but I agree that it's important to reflect. You know, I blog sometimes about what's going on, and it's important to just think through like a given day. And, you know, and there's always something, especially classroom management. I think that was something that is still something I'm working on as a newer teacher. And I think a lot of newer teachers struggle in that area or want to improve, because it's a lot to handle that many students. You know, we're not used to it going out of college.
Yeah. And that classroom management is one of those things that, you know, you think you have, and then you have a different class. And it's just, it's crazy. Because for an example, so we have 18 preschoolers, and preschool's age 4 and 5 for us. And I have a TA with me. And because of COVID, they were concerned, you know, of transmission and all this kind of stuff. So normally we would have preschool 4 days a week for 4 hours a day. But what they did is they divided our group. So I have, out of the 18, 3 only do Zoom. And that's once a week because the parents don't feel comfortable letting their kids come in person. The rest of the 15 kids are in person. And I have 8 of them on Monday and Tuesday and 7 on Wednesday and Thursday. And you would think by the time, and I'm teaching them the same lesson, you know, twice, repeating it. And that second group, that dynamic is just so crazy. It's like, you would think it would get better because I already did it the first day and I'm just repeating the lesson. But those kids are just that group. When they get together, something happens. And, you know, everything we had going that was great is worked for the first group is not going to work for the second group. And it's a reminder that, yeah, even though you think you have your classroom management down, we don't, because you get that one or two kids that can flip it. And, you know, a good teacher is always looking at all aspects of it.
Yeah, and building that, like I learned this year, just the importance of, you know, communicating with parents, but also communicating with the children. Like I communicate on Zoom and I try to get to know them as much as I can and ask questions about how their day is. And for some of them that have been really hard to get to know or have been not turning in work or just kind of shutting down, when I pull them in a breakout room, they open up and they start telling me about what's going on and they want to learn. So that dynamic of just getting to know those students who you feel like you can't get to is really helpful. Just taking the time to build that connection, because once they start to trust you and they understand, you know, that you're there to help, I think it definitely impacts the culture within the classroom as well.
Yeah. And this year's been really hard for us because we've got, you know, we're only seeing our kids 2 days a week and then we don't see them for 5 days. And, you know, especially for these little guys, you know, routine is everything. And it feels like every week is the day after Christmas break because we're just starting all over again because they had 5 days at home, you know, and typically a non-structured environment. And, you know, it's like we have to like deprogram them everything they've learned at home, playing video games that are inappropriate for their age, you know, and we have to like, it's exhausting because it's every week. It's like right after Christmas break, but we do it because we love it. So that's part of what being a teacher is. If you don't love it, and I mean love it, you need to leave it. And I know this year has been really hard and not a lot of us are loving it. We're surviving it, but we, you know, we're focused on it's going to get better. And, you know, you have to have a network of friends that are teachers and they understand what it's like. Because if you're not a teacher, you can't explain the craziness and the weird stories and, you know, the things you hear that no one should ever hear about a family, good and bad. But you have to have a network where you can talk to people and, you know, vent some of those frustrations.
Yeah, and I think even if you like can't find, you know, that within your school building, I know that I joined Twitter, you know, a few years ago, and it's been a game changer because I met so many amazing educators that share their thoughts and experiences, and it makes you feel like you're not alone. Like you have that community that you can talk to as well if you're dealing with those things, you know, especially newer educators. I think, you know, I always thought that Twitter was not something I would get into, but then I joined and all of a sudden I joined that educator side and, you know, the teacher Twitter, and everything started to change. Like it all made sense. Like, okay, like they're having hard days too, and they've taught for a while, so it's normal. And then you figure out how you can go from there.
Yeah, it's huge. And if you're working on an island by yourself, it's going to be hard. And I know as a first year teacher, you know, I thought I shouldn't be asking for help because that means I don't know what I'm doing. But reality is, I should have been asking earlier. But part of it is I also didn't know what to ask because, you know, you're just thrown in this tornado. You know, in my first year, I think I had like 34 fifth graders. And, you know, it was just, it's very overwhelming very quickly.
Yeah, and I think that's so true about not knowing what questions to ask, because I know that I felt the same way. Like my first year, I was like, I'm not going to ask for help. I don't want to be seen as weak. And because that's the, you know, assumption back then was just, mm-hmm. if you know, you graduated college, you should know what you're doing. And I didn't feel comfortable enough to ask questions. So then I went to my new school and again, felt the same way a little bit because I was testing it. And I think this year, like being remote, but also connecting on Zoom a lot with my team, I think we're getting closer and I feel more comfortable to ask those questions because I'm with them and we have meetings every week and it's on Zoom. And I feel like we're able to have that direct like communication where I'm starting to figure out like how what's working for me and what isn't, because last year was my first year teaching sixth grade math and I was trying to get day by day taking it slow because I didn't know how all the pieces fit in. And I had kids that were just, some of them were definitely testing me because they knew I was new, and it was a lot. But I think this year I feel more comfortable with the content, and I think the kids have been very appreciative And I'm also co-teaching, so that's been helpful that I have
Yeah.
someone with me on Zoom as a, so that's been a great support because I don't feel like I'm by myself. Like I have someone else who's there with me on Zoom who teaches. We both teach together and we talk, and even any, Zoom issues, he's there to problem solve. So it's been going well because I have that support. And I think that's also important is like if you're newer, if you get the opportunity to co-teach, it helps figure out your teaching style a little bit more too, because you're not, completely on your
Yeah,
own.
I had one of my years of teaching, I co-taught language, and it was with the ELL teacher at our school, and I learned so much just from being able to observe her teach and then, reflect on things that she does and what I do, and it really helped me question what are my goals when I'm teaching and I'm trying to explain something. Is the behavior that much of an issue? And it kind of lets you see a totally different version of teaching because it's not you in the front line, trying to disseminate all this information. You get to take a step back, and we would kind of like, I'd do something for 10 minutes and then she would do something for 10. So we had that time to kind of think in the moment. Do we not have a good enough connection with this kid? Is that the issue? Where when you're just teaching all day, it's all just you, you don't have that time to take a breath and just like evaluate what's happening.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I really appreciated the fact that you were on this podcast. Do you have any like Twitter handles you want to share or any ways that new teachers can reach out to you?
I'm on Twitter is most of my stuff. I'm Carla Goldberg, Carla with a C, Carla Goldberg, like Whoopi, number 12. So Carla Goldberg 12. And yeah, I'd love to. My passion is helping people who've been through challenging times, which is what I've been through in my own education and my own teaching experience. And I love to network and, lift us up because no one else is going to lift you up if you're not looking up. And we have to figure out as a whole education system how to support one another. And I think this last year with COVID has really opened a lot of our eyes as to, things we thought we couldn't even do, we are doing. And we're doing it differently than we thought we would. And there's some sad stories, but there's also some great stories. And we need to come together and figure out how all of us can move forward and make this as much positive as we can.
Yep,
All
I
right.
agree. So I've really enjoyed recording with you. Again, thank you for being on and taking your time to chat with
Thank
me.
you so
I
much,
appreciate
Susan.
it.
I appreciate the honor.